This Qatar 2022 World Cup update is powered by Ibom Heritage, highlighting the story, history, journey, and culture of the Kwaibom people.
Star names were startled. World Cup trophies and FIFA standings didn't matter as Match Day 12 served as probably the most exciting action of the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Indeed, action, drama, and breathtaking moments remain endless in Qatar 2022. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to World Cup Rush, powered by Ibom Heritage and live from Qatar. Thursday's tale began in Group F as a journey for Belgium came to an end with their goalless draw against Croatia, having gone into the match knowing that only a win would secure their passage to the knockout stage. Roberto Martinez's side were ranked second in the world by FIFA going into this tournament, but hugely underwhelmed in Group F, managing only a win against Canada, losing to Morocco, and picking up just a point in the barren draw against Croatia last night at the Ahmed Bin Ali Stadium. Indeed, star player Kevin De Bruyne's statement few days ago that the team was too old probably set the tone for the underwhelming performance, or can we say the confusion in the camp of the Red Devils. By the way, no player has missed more big chances in the entire 2022 World Cup than Romelu Lukaku did in 45 minutes against Croatia. Four glaring chances. I think we should say a prayer for Lukaku. Now, with that draw, Croatia secured a spot in the knockouts last 16 stage, finishing second behind Morocco in Group F with 5 points ahead of Belgium, who had 4 points. And so, for the first time in 36 years, Morocco match on to the last 16 on top of Group F. They also become the second African nation to top their group at multiple World Cups, after Nigeria did it in 1994 and 1998. Morocco have now added to their feat in 1986. The Atlas Lions took the 2-0 lead with goals from Chelsea's Hakim Ziyech and Sevilla's Youssouf En-Nesyri and overcame an own goal to hold on for the win. And of course, you know the ecstasy the fans will be feeling.
I feel good. This is my land.
I'm very happy. Very, very proud of my team. We'll be the first in our group. We will play maybe against Japan, not Germany. So it's good for our team, for the future, inshallah. To win the World Cup is very hard. So let's be happy now and we will see for the future, inshallah. Fnini, Salah, Casablanca, Morocco.
Thank you. I feel very happy because we are in the first rank. We'll meet the second one in the another group. Not win the World Cup. Maybe we'll reach the quarter final after that. Maybe we'll reach the semi-final. But win the World Cup. There's another team strong also. There's Brazil, there's Argentina, there's France. But Morocco maybe will reach to the semi-final.
I'm so happy. Like, we're really happy. And we congratulate all Moroccan people. And we will get more. We hope to get more. Yes, we have a powerful team. Like an international player.
Meanwhile, Canada, who were already eliminated before Thursday's game, remained winless at the World Cup, losing all group matches, first at Mexico 1986 and repeating same this year. Though, this tournament will go down as a much better performance for the Canadians. At least they scored their first ever World Cup goal. Probably the only consolation for the thousands of traveling fans who definitely expected something better.
I don't know, we pushed them in the second half. We started to pressure them. We hit the post or the bar. I don't know, in that final third, we got to tighten it up. Because, yeah, otherwise, we could have gotten a point at least. But we're going back home without winning a single game or getting a single point. I think that's the most painful thing, yeah. Because it's, I mean, there was a lot of expectation, or I would say hope, really. Just seeing them play and coming in first in their group and qualifying and being able to perform against like USA and Mexico, and even like, for example, in Mexico, they drew 1-1 as the Azteca. There was just a lot of hope, but clearly we're not there yet, but it's okay. If we don't get out of the first round, then it's absolutely a failure for the next World Cup, for sure. But I think in 4 years, they'll be way more mature. We have a very young team to look forward to.
We're really proud to be here, first of all. It's our second World Cup ever. First one in 36 years, so we're very happy to be here and just proud of our team. Even though we three losses, but we played very good football, and I think there's a lot better to come in 2026. I think there's a lot of development to do before 2026. A lot of our players are very young, so I think it's mostly going to be developing those young guys and making sure they're ready for 2026. A lot of our players are going to be kind of in their prime years, 26, 27, 28, come 2026. So I think it's just making sure those guys are playing at good clubs, getting good minutes in, and preparing as much as possible for that. Saka the coach? No, I don't think so. I think he's done great. If we can keep him, we'll keep him around. Herdman's done a great job. I'm sure he'll have lots of offers and lots of high ambitions, but if he's willing to stay, I think everyone would be happy to have
him. But coach John Herdman still praises players despite yesterday's defeat.
I'm proud. I'm proud of what these lads have shown here. You know, I think you're always going to walk away from this and it's going to sting. We competed in every match here. You know, it's the first time we've been here since 36 years. There's a qualitative gap at all levels and we're trying to close that. That's what we'll be doing and that's where we'll go. We'll keep learning as an organisation, as a coach and as a player group, and we'll be back stronger. We've got 4 years to build, but this is our first step into the big unknown, and we found a lot of things out and that this team has got quality.
Over now to Group E, where the shocks were raised to power 100. Japan reached the last 16 as Group E winners with a stunning 2-1 win over Spain. Yes, Japan. Alvaro Morata opened scoring at the Khalifa International Stadium, but Risu Doan and later Eo Tonaka struck back. The latter's goal sparking some controversy, but the VAR ruled in their favour. Luckily for Luis Enrique's side, this historic upset did not eliminate them from the tournament as they advanced via goal difference ahead of Germany, thanks to that 7-0 spanking of Costa Rica on match day one. The story would have, however, been different had Costa Rica beaten Germany, which they threatened to do after coming from a goal down to lead 2-1 at Arbeid Stadium, to the amazement of the 50,000 plus fans who could have witnessed yet another historic World Cup upset. Germany were knocked out of the World Cup in a group stage for a second consecutive time, despite a spirited fight back led by substitute Kai Havertz, who scored a brace in the 73rd and 85th minute to bring the scores at 3-2 before Niklas Füllkrug made it 4-2, but it was already too late, as Japan had done Spain a favour by wrapping up the game at 2-1. Germany, needing to score 6 goals to catch up with Spain, had gone ahead in the game as early as the 10th minute with Serge Gnabry, who restarted the game quickly, fearing goal difference being a factor. But after learning that Japan were leading Spain in the other game, Germany obviously let their guard down, and Costa Rica scored twice, with Yeltsin Tejeda first before Juan Pablo Vargas bundled the second over the line. Some German journalists were overheard saying the reason the national team did not go beyond the first round in two consecutive World Cups is because the Bundesliga has depreciated in quality. Well, that means, as we all know it, a national team is a reflection of the league. I just wish my colleagues in Nigeria can collectively say that about the Super Eagles, who failed to qualify for Qatar 2022 World Cup despite boasting an array of top stars who play abroad. But for Belgium, it was the players were too old. For Germany, the league is depreciated. Why don't you tell me what you think about the shock eliminations at the World Cup? As usual, tweet me at I Am Mighty George, and don't forget to copy at Ibom Heritage, and of course at official CFM951 with the hashtag World Cup with Ibom Heritage and Mighty George in Qatar. And so your tweets will be quickly identified. What a rush. And so, 44 is the number of matches played so far. 109, the number of goals scored. That's an average of 2.48 per game. 2,242,155 is the total attendance of matches so far. That's an average of 15,958 persons per game. The top scorers are Ecuador's Ener Valencia. Unfortunately, Ecuador are out. Marcus Rashford of England, France's Kylian Mbappe, Netherlands' Cody Gakpo, and Spain's Alvaro Morata, who all have 3 goals each. Today, is match day 13, the end of the group stage, and the starts are about to increase. The biggest boys, Brazil, take on indomitable Lions of Cameroon. Coach Tite says he will rotate his Brazil squad for the final Group G match, but Cameroon coach Rigobert Song is aware of the uphill battle to make the last 16 of the World Cup. Brazil are already through to the knockout stage and will top the pool unless they lose to Cameroon with a significant goal swing. Cameroon are hoping to reach the World Cup knockout stage for the first time since 1990, when then-star player Roger Miller inspired them to a last-eight finish. And while the Lions have never won their final group game at the FIFA World Cup, Brazil are, however, unbeaten at this stage in a record 17 matches. The Lions have lost only two World Cup matches to South American teams, but both have been in their two meetings with Brazil, who have won all seven of their World Cup clashes with African opposition, scoring 20 goals and conceding 2. Also, while Cameroon fight for their lives against Brazil at the Lusail Stadium, Serbia will face Switzerland at Stadium 974, with the Serbs, who have just 1 point, knowing that they must win to stand any chance of progressing to the knockout stages. A point is likely to be enough for the second place Swedes, who have 3 points already, which they secured on match day one, as long as Cameroon, who boast of just a point, failed to beat Brazil in their other game. Both games come up simultaneously by 10 p.m. Arabia time. Before the final matches of Group G, Group H will be decided from 6 p.m. Arabia time, as Ghana seek both revenge and survival against Uruguay, knowing that a victory would see them advance to the knockout round of the World Cup alongside Portugal. The Black Stars are currently second in the group with 3 points ahead of fourth place Uruguay, who also need to win or bust. Ahead of the clash, Luis Suarez, when asked if he was going to apologize for denying Ghana a spot in the 2010 World Cup semi-final, this is what he had to say.
I don't say the apologize about that, because I take the handball, the ball, but the Ghana player miss a penalty, not me. Maybe I can say apologize if I take a tackle and take injury the player and take a red card. Maybe I can say apologize. But in this situation that I take a red card, the ref say penalty, it's not my fault because I don't miss the penalty. The player miss a penalty, he say he do it the same in this situation. It's not my responsibility to shoot the penalty.
For Black Stars coach Otto Addo, who is less concerned about the revenge agenda, he says he has a game plan based on the desperation of their opponents.
Expect them to press, to press high, to try to force and dictate the game. And they know that a draw is not good enough for them. So surely there's no other option for them than to attack. And because there will be gaps in their defense, and we'll see. We have to be solid, strong, but also surely have to use the gaps which they will automatically leave and try to score. And like I said, I think it's going to be a tight match and very, very tough for us, just like every match for us at the World Cup. Yeah, anything can happen, but I'm very, very confident that if the players are at the same level like the last two games, then
one thing is sure, that is a match the whole world wants to see. Elsewhere at the Education City Stadium, already qualified Portugal will be beaten to secure top spot in Group H when they take on South Korea. Fernando Santos' side only need a point to be certain of finishing at the top of the section, while South Korea need to overcome the European nation to stand a chance of progressing and hoping results favor them in the other game. What a day of splendid action we have on our hands. In some off-the-pitch news, Belgium manager Roberto Martinez has become the second publicly announced coaching casualty of the World Cup after he announced he would not be continuing his role as the team's manager. Right after making that announcement, the Belgian Football Association released a statement thanking Martinez for his 6 years of service, but expressed disappointment over crashing out at the group stage in Qatar. The statement reads, "We are extremely disappointed after the early exit of our national team at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar because we have failed and thereby let down the people of Belgium who supported our team all the way through." End of quote. Well, so first Tata Martino, now Roberto Martinez, and who's next? Hansi. For now, the Germany coach has his job, but we can't bank on what we might hear as the day unfolds. Well, you can trust that I'll keep you posted on events as they unfold here at the FIFA World Cup in Qatar. Until my next podcast, make sure you keep enjoying the FIFA 2022 World Cup. I am the Mighty George. Have yourselves an action-packed day. What a rush!